Madhopia. Because I'll have to go to Burmese monastery and deliver a Dhamma talk in Burmese at 7 tomorrow. So there'll be a meditation master here, my disciple, will give you Dhamma talk in Burmese here. And then you'll be able to understand it. Huh? You understand Burmese? Yes, that meditation teacher cannot speak English, cannot speak Chinese. What should you do? Or what should I do? Yes, one of our Burmese meditator will be interpreter. Then it will be convenient. Today is the 9th day of our meditation retreat here in Singapore. The 2nd day of January 1990. Yesterday, I lay emphasis on awareness of the daily activities. Awareness of the daily activities very much important. So, the Buddha teaches as a separate chapter named Sammacchanyapava in his discourse of Mahasatipatthana Sutra, the four foundations of mindfulness. If any meditator doesn't take it serious, and if he is unable to be aware of all actions and movement in more and more detail, there is a very wide and mindful gap between the previous mindfulness and the following mindfulness. So, through this gap, the mind is distracted a lot, going out wandering, planning, imagination, and so on. This wide gap must be filled up by an awareness of all actions and movements and the daily routine. Then mindfulness becomes continuous. When mindfulness becomes continuous and constant and powerful, then the concentration becomes deeper. When concentrations are deeper, there arises insight knowledge that penetrates into specific or general characteristic of mental and physical phenomena. When a meditator realizes either specific or general characteristics of body-mind process, it's known as the first stage of insight knowledge. Insight knowledge of discerning Nama and Rupa, mental phenomena and physical phenomena. If the meditator notes the intentions before every action and movement, when the concentrations deep enough, we come to realize the cause and effect of the phenomena. You come to realize because there's an intention, there's an action or movement. It's an intention that causes the action or movement. So intention is the cause of the movement, or the action is the effect. He comes to realize. This is called insight knowledge of a cause and effect, or insight knowledge of a causal relation. And also, we realize this because there's movements or motion. There's the mind that knows it. Unless there's not any object, there won't be any note in mind. Because there's an object, such as rise and fall in movement, and the stretching, bending movement, and lifting, pushing, dropping, movement of the foot. There's the mind that knows it. Here the object is the cause and the subject is the effect. Meditator comes to realize or rightly understand the cause and effect. If we proceed with this practice, she comes to realize the appearance and disappearance of mental states or physical phenomena which is observed. When we observe, say, painful sensation in any part of his body, then he notes the pain, attentively, energetically, precisely and very closely. The more painful becomes evident, the deeper concentration becomes, because the pain is the most distinct object to the mind to be concentrated on. So the mind can be concentrated on the pain very deeply. Sometimes the noting mind penetrates into the pain, get inside the pain, then the noting mind experiences something in the pain. Sometimes the one layer of a painful sensation arises, the mind knows it, then it passes away. Then another layer of a painful sensation arises, the mind knows it, and then it passes away. In this way, the mind experiences arising and passing away, appearance and disappearance of one layer of a painful sensation after another. Because the mind is very deeply concentrated on the painful sensation. At that time, meditator just know the pain, but he doesn't suffer the pain because he is realizing the pain as an unpleasant physical sensation which is rising and passing away. Then he don't have the idea of I who suffer the pain. Then he removes the idea of a person, of being self or soul. Through realization of the appearance and disappearance of painful sensation or unpleasant physical sensation, what he realizes at that moment is just unpleasant sensation arising and passing away. He doesn't know the location of the pain too. Sometimes he loses the sense of the form of the limb or the form of the body. Sometimes he is not aware of himself. What we realize at that moment is an unpleasant sensation, which is appearance and disappearing. So here, what meditator realize, experiences is suffering, first of all, the painful sensation. But later on, experiences, appearance and disappearance of unpleasant sensation one after another, and permanent. What arises passes away, and permanent. It's at that moment, he doesn't take this unpleasant physical sensation to be a person or a being itself also. He has the idea of no self, no person, no being, another. In this way, meditator experiences suffering, impermanence, and no soul, no self nature, or impersonal nature of phenomena. Suffering is dukkha, impermanence, anicca, no soul, no self idea is another. The idea of a no soul, no self is another. In this way, he comes to comprehend all the three characteristics of the existence, anicca, impermanence, dukkha, suffering, anatta, no soul, no self, or impersonal nature. This is according to the inside knowledge of a comprehension. It's at this stage of meditation that meditator experiences a great deal of painful sensation and a severe painful sensation. But when he tries his best to concentrate on the painful sensation very attentively, the mind becomes more and more deeply concentrated on the pain, then he realizes these three characteristics: suffering, impermanence, and impersonal nature, no soul, no self nature. This is the third stage of insight knowledge, of clear comprehension. That's why I said, pain is the key to the door of Nibbana. When the pain is thoroughly realized, meditator comes to experience the true nature of the painful sensation. What is the true nature? Suffering, impermanence, and impersonal nature. This is a vipassana jnana, the insight knowledge, which leads you to the higher stages of insight knowledge, and finally to the first stage of enlightenment. When you have reached the first stage of enlightenment, sotapattimagga, then you realize the Four Noble Truths very well. That's why I said, pain is the key to the door of Nibbana. So meditator must not be afraid of the pain. The pain is not to be afraid. It's to be loved. The pain is meditator should fall in love with the pain, because the pain leads him or leads her to the realization of the Four Noble Truths and the cessation of the suffering. If a meditator has many different varieties of the painful sensation, he is the luckiest one, because he has the best key with him to open the door of Nibbana, the cessation of the suffering. So in Burma, some of the meditator having practiced about 1.5 months have no pain at all in this meditative practice, then he is longing for the pain, because the pain, his lover departed from him. Then he tried to call it back to her or to him. How? He sit with his legs folded under his body so that he can recover his lover. Then he got a painful sensation. Then he is happy, enjoy it, observing attentively the pain. In a short time, the mind very deeply concentrates on the pain and realizes the true nature of the pain, suffering, impermanence, and impersonal nature, anicca, dukkha, anatta. The Buddha said in his sermon, the first sermon, the Majjhagabodhana Sutra, all five aggregates of grasping is a suffering, dukkha. Aggregates of grasping means upadana khanda in Pali. Upadana khanda. Here, aggregates of grasping, upadana khanda, the first one, aggregate of material phenomena. The second is called Rupa Khanda. The second, the aggregate of sensation or feeling, it's called Vedana Khanda. The third, aggregates of perception, Sanya Khanda in Pali. The fourth, aggregate of Sankara Khanda. Aggregate of mental formation, Sankara Khanda. The fifth one, the last. Aggregate of consciousness. So-called a person is composed of these five kinds of aggregates. Material phenomenon, sensation, perception, mental formations, and consciousness. The first aggregate, material phenomenon, is a rupa. Matter. The other four aggregates are nama, mental phenomena, feeling, perception, mental formations, and consciousness. All these four aggregates are nama, mentality or mental phenomena. So, when we analyze our body and mind, we find these five aggregates. There is nothing but these five aggregates. These five aggregates are also impermanent, subject to rising and passing away all the time. All instant. So, all these five aggregates of grasping is a dukkha, the Buddha said. Then, when we summarize these five aggregates, we have two words. One is a rupa, matter. The other is a nama, mind. The first aggregate of a physical phenomena, material phenomena, is matter. The other four aggregates are nama, or mentality, a mental phenomena. These two types of phenomena, nama and rupa, are in us. Our bodily phenomenon is rupa khanda, aggregate of material phenomena. The mentality or mental states must be divided into two. One is consciousness, the other is all kinds of mental states, or mental concomitants. Consciousness is called the citta and the Buddhist Abhidhamma. Mental concomitants are called chetasika. Mental concomitants consist of the three aggregates, namely feeling or sensation, perception and consciousness. As it read, all these three aggregates are mental conformity. Feeling, vedana, jitasika, mental conformity. Perception, sanya, jitasika, mental conformity. And all kinds of mental formation, which consist and 50 mental concomitants. The aggregate of a mental formation is composed of the 50 mental concomitants, such as contact, attention, life force, greed, hatred, ignorance, conceit, jealousy, sloth and torpor, flurry and worry, or flurry and worry, or distractions and remorse, and so on. There are 50 mental concomitants or mental states, which are called as mental aggregate of a mental formation, sankhara khana. So the Buddha said, all these five aggregates of grasping, or these two kinds of phenomena, nama and rupa, are dukkha. Then the people nowadays do not rightly understand the nature of this dukkha of the five aggregates, which constitute the so-called a person, a being, a self. In other words, so-called a man or a woman is composed of these five aggregates, which are dukkha, suffering, according to the teaching of the Buddha. But though the Buddha said both nama and rupa, metta and mind, or mental phenomena, physical phenomena, which is constitute so-called person, is a dukkha suffering. Most of our living beings, or the people, do not understand this body and mind, or five aggregates are suffering dukkha. That is why we are attached to ourselves, we are attached to other people, we are attached to our mother or father, we are attached to our brother and sister, you are attached to your wife, you are attached to your husband, and so on, because you do not rightly understand the suffering nature of this body and mind, aggregates of grasping. Then you don't want to get rid of these five aggregates of body and mind. You are attached to yourself. You are attached to the other people. I am attached to myself. I am attached to the other people, and so on. So this attachment arises through not rightly understanding of five aggregates do cause suffering. Then the attachment that arises is dependent on ignorance of dukkha suffering produces another suffering, dukkha again. But this is dukkha, the effect of the attachment. It's also not rightly understood by living beings or by the people. Then again, the people are attached to the suffering. In this way, the people are wrestling with the suffering, or the people are absorbed into the ocean of the suffering because they do not rightly understand this is a suffering. Though the Buddha pointed out that these five aggregates of graspings are suffering dukkha. That's why the Buddha pointed out that the dukkha suffering is to be thoroughly realized. The dukkha suffering must be thoroughly realized through personal experience, or through experience knowledge, experiential knowledge. Unless dukkha or suffering is rightly understood, then the people will not get rid of this suffering because he will be attached to suffering dukkha all the time because he doesn't rightly understand it. That's why the Buddha said dukkha, suffering must be thoroughly realized by personal experience or through experiential knowledge. That's why we have to observe our bodily and mental phenomena, which are the five aggregates of grasping. Whatever arises in our body or mind must be observed as it really occurs, so that we can rightly understand the true nature of this body and mind, so that we can realize these five aggregates of grasping as they really are. When we are able to concentrate our mind well on each mental state or physical process which is observed, then there arises the insight knowledge that realizes the suffering of these five aggregates, impermanence of these five aggregates, impersonal nature of these five aggregates. Suffering, dukkha, is of three types. The first type is suffering of suffering, or dukkha dukkha. The second type is suffering or dukkha by change. The third is suffering of arising and passing away, or appearance and disappearance, sankhara dukkha. Suffering of the suffering, dukkha means the common suffering which is perceived by all living beings. Even ordinary animals or insects knows this is suffering. That is both mental suffering and physical suffering. Mental suffering, mental discomfort, such as sorrow, worry, sadness, depression, dejection, disappointment, and so on. These are mental discomfort, mental suffering. Cetasika dukkha in Pali. These are dukkha dukkha, suffering of a suffering, because this is dukkha of a suffering of this kind. It's a very, very distant to the minds of all living beings. Then, physical suffering, physical dukkha, kāyika dukkha, such as aching, itching, pain, stiffening, numbness, all kinds of diseases, all kinds of physical discomfort. All these are kāyika dukkha, physical suffering or physical discomfort. Such kind of suffering is also very much clear to the minds of all living beings. So they are called suffering of suffering, dukkha dukkha. It's more distant to meditator than ordinary people. Why? These dukkhas are more clearly perceived by meditators than the people at home. Why? Do you know? You don't know your painful sensation while you are meditating. Don't you know? I think you don't have any pain in meditation. Huh? Huh? Plenty of pain. Yeah. Plenty of pain is clearly perceived by meditators more clearly than the people at home. Why? What is the reason? Because of mindfulness. Meditator is all the time mindful of whatever arises in his body and mind as it occurs. So when the pain arises, it's very, very clearly perceived by meditator, but except meditator, they are the only people doesn't perceive this dukkha, this suffering very well, because their attention is not to suffering, their attention is to business, and money. Cloud ordered me to stop. But I should continue a little bit. Huh? Yes. This kind of a dukkha, the first type of a dukkha, suffering of suffering, dukkha, is very easily realized by a meditator who has some degree of a concentration and this meditative practice. The second type of suffering is suffering by change. It refers to so-called sukha, happiness. Happiness is regarded as the dukkha, suffering by the Buddha. Why? Because happiness doesn't last very long. It arises and then lasts for a moment and then it passes away. It's replaced by suffering, dukkha. In other words, for some reason, this is sukha, happiness changes into dukkha, suffering, in a short time. It doesn't last long, so the Buddha said, this happiness also suffering by change. It can be rightly understood theoretically. Then the last one is a sankhara dukkha. Sankhara dukkha means arising and passing away of a phenomenon. Any mental phenomenon or physical phenomenon doesn't last long. It arises and very instantly passes away. Then another phenomenon arises and then very instantly passes away. In this way, the whole body is the process of rising and passing away of a physical phenomena. The whole mental state is the process of rising and passing away of mental phenomena. This is sankhara dukkha, rising and passing away, appearance and disappearance of phenomena. It's somewhat difficult to be rightly understood, to be thoroughly realized by even meditator. Only a meditator's mindfulness becomes continuous and constant for certain period of time, say for the whole morning, or for the whole afternoon, for the whole evening, or for the whole day. Only when mindfulness becomes continuous, constant, and sharp enough, there arises a deep concentration. When the concentration becomes deep enough, then there arises inside knowledge which is penetrating. It experiences when a mental state arises and passes away, then it experiences the rising and passing away of that mentality. Say, when your mind goes out and thinks about something else, at that time you observe it, making mental note as thinking. Suppose you have meditated about 1.5 months, so your concentration is deep enough. So the mind, the note in mind, concentrating power. So when you note thinking, then one thought arises and it passes away. Then the note mind realizes it. Then another thought arises and it passes away very instantly. In the blinking of an eye, it arises and passes away very swiftly. Then the note mind realizes it. Sometimes meditator compare this rising and passing away of thought with the water drop which falls from, say, the roof, one after another. He experiences or realizes the arising and passing away of this thought and the thinking process one after another. The deeper his concentration becomes, the sharper and the more penetrating his inside knowledge, and the more clearer his realization of this arising and passing away of thoughts, mental states. Very rapidly rises and very rapidly passes away. Very rapidly disappears, very rapidly appears and disappears of mental and physical, mental phenomena. At that time, he comes to rightly understand sankhara dukkha. Sankhara here means mind and matter, mental phenomena and physical phenomena. Dukkha means arising and passing away, appearance and disappearance. So in this way, the meditator experiences the arising and passing, very rapid arising and passing away of, very swift arising and passing away of thought process one after another. Then he comes to rightly understand sankhara dukkha. Oh, these all the time rises and passes away. These thoughts or these mental states all the time rises and passes away. So they are bad, not good. There's no substantially in nature. There's no nothing to be attached to. In this way, she comes to realize sankhara dukkha. In the same way, he comes to realize that the painful sensation, I have explained to you how meditator experience arising in person away of the pain, suffering, dukkha, earlier in this talk. So, that's why the Buddha said, dukkha, suffering, or the truth of a suffering, dukkha satya, must be thoroughly realized by a meditator. Only he is able to realize this is suffering, dukkha, as it really is. He wants to get rid of this dukkha. So, only then that he has removed the attachment to. The attachment is samudaya satya, the cause of suffering. So when a meditator has realized, thoroughly realized this dukkha, dukkha, suffering of suffering, and sankhara dukkha, arising and passing away of the phenomena, mental and physical phenomena, then he won't take this dual process of mentality and physicality to be a person, a being, me or mine. Then he won't be attached to it. He will be detached from this embodiment process because he has exterminated attachment. So there's no attachment, there's a suffering, there's no suffering at all. Because suffering is caused by the attachment. When its attachment has been destroyed, there won't arise any suffering at all. No mental suffering, no physical suffering, no suffering or suffering dukkha, no suffering by change, viparinama dukkha, no suffering of arising and passing with sankhara dukkha. All kinds of suffering has been done away with by right understanding of the dukkha, mental and physical phenomena. Then meditator attains the cessation of suffering. Dukkha nirodha nibbana, nirodha satya. because he has thoroughly realized dukkha in all aspects. Because he develops this mindfulness meditation on Noble Eightfold Path, he is able to concentrate his mind well on each mental state and physical process of suffering. So, he is able to realize and permit suffering of suffering, or suffering by change, or suffering of arising and passing away. So, he is detached from this suffering of mental and physical phenomena. That attachment has been destroyed because he has well developed the Noble Eightfold Path, Magga Sajja, the root of the way leading to the cessation of suffering. When this, he is able to completely remove the attachment there, he attains the cessation of suffering, Nirodha Sajja, Nibbana. This is what meditator must aim at, or this is the goal of a meditator. If a meditator put strenuous effort in his practice, he may attain this cessation of suffering in 10 days meditation too. But it's not very easy. If he meditates, practice a long time meditation, such as 3 months or 6 months, he is almost sure to attain the cessation of suffering. So, may all of you rightly understand the process of this meditative experience and the benefit of it. Strive your best and attain the cessation of suffering.